This is Frank Prattle on 88.9 NPR. This is Dina Pugh. I'm going to be hosting this interview. I'm one of the co-curators and directors of Triple Bass Gallery here, where we're broadcasting live out of 3041 24th Street. Y'all should come by and sit in live. And I'm sitting here with Sidra Stitch, who we're very lucky to have here. Thanks for coming, Sidra.
Thank you.
Who is an accomplished art historian, curator, writer, publisher, educator. I'm very impressed by this woman, so I have lots of questions for you, Sidra.
Well, speed ahead.
Okay. Well, so Sidra was the chief curator of the Berkeley Art Museum from, let's see here, 1984 to 1991?
Yeah, I guess. Dates are sort of not my specialty, so whatever you say is good.
And how was that for you, working for such a large institution, now that you're this entrepreneur?
Well, I don't see myself as an entrepreneur now, but working for an institution that's part of a bigger institution, such as a university museum, is really a challenge because you have so many levels of administration and bureaucracy, and often get trapped in all of the craziness of what you can imagine that entails. While I was at the Berkeley Art Museum, however, I was able to do some large projects that were of real importance for me because they were dealing with a broad spectrum of issues that put together things in a kind of different way. And so that was
worthwhile. What was one of the favorite shows that you curated there?
Made in USA and the Anxious Visions shows were both shows that dealt with what I like to deal with, which is a cultural view of art and art in a cultural context.
Oh, okay. And what made you originally want to be a curator? I always wonder what how people become curators. It's kind of a
I think I, you know, I really started getting in touch with the notion of art in a cultural context when I first started traveling outside of the U.S. and I saw the amazing way in which countries treated culture. We don't have that in America except for popular culture, and popular culture is certainly a major factor here in America, but there's this still today a kind of split between what is culture, with a capital C, if you will, and popular culture. And that doesn't happen so much in other countries. And the notion of the integration of architecture and city plazas and events in the city, and then the museums and the galleries, and the music, and everything in a way that was everywhere, on all levels, and it wasn't a matter of people who were wealthy or people who were poor being able to enjoy or not enjoy or partake or not partake, and it was taught in the schools. Kids, any level of people, really loved things relating to their history in the past and in the present, and that impressed me greatly, and it sort of was the basis of my wanting to study art history, and then was has been the basis of the way I kind of tried to look at things.
And that's, I mean, so Sidra is the publisher of Art Sites Press, which is an art travel guide, and you've done these books for London, Italy, Paris, San Francisco, Spain, Britain and Ireland, and France. So at this point, you've pretty much been all over the world checking out all these various art scenes. And I kind of thought that it might be interesting for someone with such a wide perspective to talk about how San Francisco seems to fit in that larger, when you've seen all these other cities and how people value culture and art in all these other parts of the world, how do you see San Francisco in relationship to the other cities?
You know, San Francisco is such a quirky city. It's so much everybody's favorite city all around the world. People always say, oh, you're so lucky to live there. Uh-huh. And it is. Every time you come back here, you get this rush as you come back home. It's not like, oh, I'm back home again. You know, my vacation's over. It's, oh, wow, here I am again.
Always happy to come home.
Always happy to come home. And there is a lot going on here. It's just that there's still this heavy conservative streak that is based on, oddly, the extreme democratic flair of San Francisco. Mm. Everybody's got to have a voice. Everybody has to be allowed to say what they think. And what happens then is you get down to this pablum level of the lowest common denominator or something that's just, you know, going to please everyone but it's not really edgy by the time it's pleasing everybody. Mm. And there's a kind of reserve that's frustrating. I think too many people here in San Francisco in the various arts communities. And there's also still a very heavy categorization here of separation between the various domains within the art world, the domain of, let's say, design, and the domain of architecture, and the domain of the fine arts. And there's not that, you know, pulse of interaction that you see elsewhere.
Yeah, like when I was recently in Japan, I was so surprised that there's really no difference between design and fine art. In fact, I don't think there's a word that separates the two. Mm-hmm. So I was told. So in other cultures, it seems like it's much more integrated. And art and life are integrated.
And it's amazing because the world of design is thriving with an incredible energy. You find in England or in Italy these amazing interactions between really creative forces in the architectural world and in installation art and in what are the design product orientation field. And extreme experimentation with plastics, with metals, with any sort of production, and just an explosive spirit. And these design fairs, I mean, the Milan Design Fair is equal to what you might find in Miami next week with the big art fair. But in America, that's, you know, still, or especially in San Francisco, it's kind of in its own little category.
And so this sounds like a pretty fun job. I mean, so you just go and travel to these cities, and how long do you spend there, and how do you do your research? Because if you're covering art, design, are you covering music? And
no, it's really the visual arts only. It's not the theater arts or the music arts.
But architecture, design.
But architecture, design, and the fine arts. And I usually, it's 6 weeks of in-depth on-site research twice. So all told, about 3 months for each book. Each book is usually coming out very quickly within a year. There are about 300 pages, and that's a heavy lot of information to gather. When I started doing the books, there was really no resource that you could find that even listed or brought together any of these things. So it was a discovery element. And the books don't only cover the galleries and the museums and the design boutiques and the architecture, cinema texts, but also public art. And so it's really walking around, meandering, discovering, which I love doing. I mean, I think if you really want to get involved with a city and find out what's going on, you have to walk around, go off the main boulevards, meander here and there. It's extraordinary what you find, even in San Francisco. Just, you know, walking is great.
Well, and you must, like, go to some source at first to ask, where should I go next? I mean, I met you because you were looking around the Mission galleries and you were kind of looking for more reference points, or did I miss anything? So you must, at, you know, some point, plug into certain key people in the
Oh, you area. Ask everybody.
You ask everybody.
I mean, you get a lot of dead ends, and a lot of people will tell you, oh, this is great, this is great. You go there, and you just have a different view. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's what's the fun, is just seeing as much as you can, asking everywhere for leads. Before I go, I do a lot of online research, library research, checking out all sorts of resources to find what might be things of note, and then on site, come back online, back putting it all together, gathering together materials while you're there, and then the second trip is to checking out again everything and looking at all the stuff that you've missed.
And why did you decide to start this book? Did you feel like, so you felt like there was a need, like there's no resource like this, and were you also feeling maybe a little like you wanted to have opportunities to travel more? And really,
when I started it, it was because there was nothing, and I craved this kind of a thing. And it was really the series started in 1999, the first book, and at that point the internet was not a powerful force. In fact, most of the galleries and museums didn't have websites, and the first book doesn't even have any website listings or internet addresses. Now everything is on the internet. So there's perhaps, it's maybe run its course, but now I'm just in the process of finalizing a new edition of the San Francisco Bay Area book, just because it's been extremely popular. Mm-hmm. And the edition that came out first, which was 2003, has moved sort of into the zone of not being accurate enough. So we decided, okay, we'll do this book again and then see where it goes.
Yeah, there's so much turnover of spaces that I imagine keeping it up to date would be really difficult. So,
yeah, a lot of things. It's amazing how many things are added and how many close within the space of even 1 year.
Well, and with you being a kind of a native and, being in San Francisco for so long, I'm interested how you viewed San Francisco this time around, researching it like it's a new city, basically, and what changes you found have come about in the last few years.
Well, of course, a major change in terms of the visual dynamic of the city as an art center internationally has been the opening of the De Young Museum. The building itself is a drawing card for people from all over the world, and that's a real plus for the city. When the Renzo Piano building across the way for the California Academy of Sciences is built, it will be a solidification of that. It happened before with the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art that just brought attention into the city. The city has not changed that much in terms of, the downtown gallery zone. They move around, some open, some close, but in terms of the dynamic of really broadening out to the international world and another kind of pulse, that hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. The design realm created a presence in San Francisco around Jackson Square, and that happened just before 2003. And that's a great resource. If people haven't gone there, there's wonderful few boutiques altogether: Cartel, Artemide Lighting, and the Vitra Boutique, which show design in an interesting way. Now we have in the San Francisco Bay Area a lot more alternative spaces that have come into being, and smaller galleries that are trying to capture the pulse of a younger dynamic in both the Mission, San Francisco, south of Market, and also, of course, in Oakland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was having an interesting conversation with you regarding those smaller spaces about how it can be frustrating because they're not always open, and, they're kind of on the shoestring with volunteer gallery sitters, maybe. I mean, we try here at Triple Base to keep our hours, but it can be difficult sometimes. And I think, and it can be difficult sometimes to access the artwork as well, because it maybe seems very, I don't know, maybe you could say what some of your impressions were about these smaller spaces.
Yeah, this kind of thing exists all over the world. And one finds it in places like Milan or places on the outskirts of Venice. Incredible activity on an alternative space level, or young student populations spreading out to open spaces to show their own work. In London, it was the pulse that brought London to the forefront of the contemporary art scene, and now it's really giving New York a run for its money in many ways. And however, in the East End of London and elsewhere, when these galleries started proliferating, they really were a force unto themselves. They got together, they made sure they're open weird hours on Sundays and Saturdays, but they were really open. Mm-hmm. And when they said they were open, mm-hmm. and they all were open the same time or similar time for a while, mm-hmm. so that people could really go and see the richness of that whole experience. Yeah. I don't think that's happened here in San Francisco or in Oakland, unfortunately, in a way that brings the community outside of itself to the forefront. You know, these places are great. They have huge openings, parties, but that's not going to make it to bring the art world to them. And that really is very important. Yeah. It's not a hard thing to do. Also, on the, you know, I know it's difficult because there are so many things to do, and most of the spaces are run by one or two people, or they're, as you say, volunteer people doing the activities. But online, you know, you go online, you've got to have your hours. You've got to make sure your hours are up to date. If you say you're open on certain hours, you've got to be there. And that's not happening. And I know myself, even this last week, trying to contact a couple of these spaces for the new San Francisco book. Hey, it's free publicity we're giving. And we can't get to these places. And we go, and they say they're open, and we sit there, and they don't open. And that's not a good thing for the collector zone, which is what you're trying to feed into, or the people who are doing reviews for magazines and so forth.
And I think it's so great for people to hear this, just to constantly be pushed, because I think, you know, I wanted to talk with you here today because you have this really interesting perspective. And then, but so many people who are involved in it, it becomes a lot of like patting on the back of, oh, you're doing such a great job and you're doing such great work. But I think we all have a lot more work to do in terms of, you know, even if it's just like getting more people involved so that there's more people volunteering and helping keep those open hours. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think the pulse of what's happening in San Francisco, it's, you know, kind of there, but it's not there. In a sense, everybody gets into it on the opening night, but that opening night party thing is not what's going to make it in a broader zone. And you've got to just, even if they're limited hours, just sort of coordinate, have the whole neighborhood have the same limited hours and see what happens, you know. Push it in that direction so that there's a kind of understanding that there's a scene, you know, and I think, you know, the thing that one hesitates here in San Francisco is that it's always sort of feels like it's just about to happen, and everybody gets so excited, and then you hold your breath, and you know, and you know it disappears, and it's like this puffy cloud, the fog.
In a previous interview, how what kind of makes San Francisco unique? As an art city, is that it's typically where you want to be noticed and you want to be a part of it, but then you don't. There's a reason why you're not living in New York.
Yeah, but you know, then people keep complaining, why isn't it happening?
Yeah.
And you know, it's sort of like the East Village. That was an alternative. It was an outsider thing, but the various of those spaces and those artists and those gallery people or alternative space people recognize there was something really powerful that they wanted to promote beyond just being alternative. And those spaces moved into a zone that, you know, ultimately maybe they were the mainstream zone, but that's the way it happens.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah, and then another group comes along and is the alternative. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, just sort of running into these laddering zones. And unfortunately, I think, you know, if you're so stuck in being alternative, you're just pushing yourself out of any picture, ultimately.
Right. Yeah, that's really interesting. And then, so where do you think were the exciting spaces for you in San Francisco that maybe you discovered on this time around? Some new spots that you hadn't heard about before.
New spots.
Did you make any discoveries that were open when they said they were going to be?
I think there are a fair number of places in the Mission and in Oakland specifically that are, you know, interesting. You know, they're uneven, but that's the nature of the game. And you have to go back and back, because sometimes you're going to see something that's really, you know, schlocky, and other times you're going to see something that's going to blow your mind and really fascinating. And, you know, but I think the thing in San Francisco, perhaps, and it remains to be seen where it will go, because it's also in a transition era, a transition phase, because of changes in persons who are in charge. Are the spaces associated with the university or the art schools, the San Francisco Art Institute and the California College of the Arts galleries? They've been a pulse, and they and I know myself, the California College of the Arts lecture program. If you want, I mean, you don't pay anything. I mean, this is unheard of in the world, where every night there's a lecture there, designers, architects. I heard some lectures a couple of weeks ago, unknown names, but they were mind-boggling. If people missed the lecture that was there a couple of weeks ago by Yvonne Rainer, it was, you know, not even full, but boy, that was the most mind-boggling lecture. If you wanted to know what postmodern art was about, all you had to do was see the film she showed, and you didn't need an explanation, but the visuals told you that. And this is where, if you really want to know what's going on in the art world, you've got a resource there in that lecture program that's unbeatable in the Bay Area. And, you know, I can't talk about that enough, because that's just a place where it may not be exhibitions, but it's of great value for people who want to get themselves up to par.
Yeah, and there's really not a lot of great lecture series in the city, and it's one of the best. And SFAI also has a really great one, so yeah, people should check that out. Well, I think it's close. Are we supposed to? We have 2 minutes. I was wondering if people in the audience, since we have an audience today, if anybody in the audience has a question for Sidra or wants to comment on something that we've been discussing.
Have you found the spaces in the dog patch?
Let me repeat that. The question is from Meg Schiffler, and she would like to know, what kind of spaces did you see that you liked in the dog patch? Or
I don't know of very many there. I know, of course, of Ampersand, but that's now a couple of years old. I've gone to some of the storefront things, but they, you know, the difference I bring when I go and look is to try to distinguish whether this would be of interest to people coming from another country who want to see what was going on. And the separation is it a student level, you know, sort of emerging local scene? Is it sort of a community art thing? Or does it bring something new to the fore? And oftentimes I find, you know, people get real excited, but it's because they're not familiar so much with what's going on in the rest of the world, and it could be, you know, sort of a clone of something that's already happening. And so that's sort of my determination. And I know it doesn't negate the value of it, because you need those kind of spaces, but, you know, does it rise to bringing something really that goes beyond just a postgraduate level, let's show our own things? Yeah, and that's a step that I think is often not so clear in many of these proliferating storefront spaces or open studio types of things that you see going on in the Bay Area and elsewhere around the world. I mean, it's just that, you know, sort of one step above that, yeah.
Does anyone else have a question? We're good. I think we're out of time, but thank you so much, Sidra. This was really interesting. Thanks for joining me. And where can people reach you or check out information?
If anyone wants to see any of the ArtSites books, you can go online, www.art-sitesites.com. There are sample pages and a table of contents for all the existing books, and the new San Francisco ArtSites book will be out in late December or early January, depending on the shipping date that comes about, and they're all 1995, they're great resources. The San Francisco book is for the entire Bay Area, although it's called ArtSites San Francisco.
I'm definitely going to get some for in here because people are always saying, where do I go next?
Great, so thank you.
Hand that out. All right, thanks so much. And this is NPR 88.9, Frank Pradelt.